Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Wednesdays with Walton, with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com, and see his tremendous work at thecardinalnation.com. We're coming to you from the Lou Fews Automotive Studios. This is Scoops with DannyMac.com. We do this every Wednesday with Brian Walton. Lots to get into before I tell you about Lordo's Diamonds. Lordo's, located in the heart of Ladue, 9222 Clayton Road, and you can see their selection at lordosdiamonds.com. Jimmy Lordo, there every day. So if you have a birthday, anniversary, that special occasion coming up, you're looking for the best jewelry in St. Louis, think lordosdiamonds.com. Alex Reyes pitched yesterday. We'll talk about that. The road to the big leagues for Ronhel Ravelo. Tommy Edman. End of the first half in the minor leagues. And there's been some names that are now part of the all-star teams in the minor leagues. All that and more coming up with Brian Walton. Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. More features keep rolling out on the Schnucks Rewards app, all designed to simplify shopping. Your rewards points still continue to pile up, earning you money off your next purchase. But now you can create customizable and shareable shopping lists. Shop for your family's dietary needs with the new wellness icons. Gluten-free, organic, heart smart, it's all covered. So this week, simplify shopping. Try the new features on the Schnucks Rewards app. Shopping will never be the same. Schnucks Rewards. Download it today. Well, Brian Walton, on a Wednesday morning, we always have the chance to visit from thecardinalnation.com. You heard some of the subjects going into this piece of what we're going to dive into, and we'll start with what has been a question I've had for you for well over a year now, and many Cardinal fans are curious about it right now. Alex Reyes. Alex pitched last night. Just give me your thoughts on where Alex is right now.
Well, he's not really in a very good place, to be honest with you. I think the Cardinals were hoping that Alex would get back to where he was in his rehab last year. As folks remember, coming off Tommy John, he threw, I think, 27 straight scoreless innings before he then suffered a shoulder injury that cost him another year. And Reyes just doesn't have his command. Last time out, he gave up 3 home runs. This time out, he kept the ball in the park but gave up 10 hits. And one of the consistent problems that has been with Alex is that he hasn't been able to put the leadoff man on, get the leadoff man out. And so every inning he's pitching behind, there's a guy on base. It's a stress situation. He's not been efficient with his pitches. And he gave up 6 innings here on Tuesday. So, you know, Alex is just going to need some more time. He's apparently learning how to pitch, you know, with this shoulder problem that he had. Didn't require surgery, but he's not the same guy that we saw before.
It's been disappointing. I know for a fact for him, I'm sure for fans and probably for the Cardinals as well. When you talk to people that watch him day in and day out, what do you think that next step is for him to, you know, potentially get that call back up?
Well, I think if anybody knew the magic formula for a pitcher to, you know, regain his command, that's what they would give him. But, you know, we've seen his velocity in the upper 90s. I've seen his pitches. You know, he's using all his pitches, but they just don't have the same crispness, the same movement as before. And he's getting hit around. And I think it's just going to mean more time in Memphis, you know, to hopefully work it out. But, you know, it's clear he's not going to be a part of the solution for St. Louis anytime soon.
Have you seen him, though, better in the rotation at all? I know what numbers say, but There's also the eye test of what major league scouts and teams are looking at. Have you seen improvement anywhere with that?
Well, he certainly cut down the walks. He started off in his rehab this year, and he's still not where he needs to be, but he's walking fewer batters. Now, what I don't know is if he's, you know, taking velocity off to get that control. But again, you know, the main issue is the movement of his pitches. And you know, some people have said, well, hi, you know, why don't you make Reyes a reliever? Well, if he's not, you know, getting his first batters retired, that's going to be a dangerous proposition in the bullpen. So, you know, I'm just not really sure what's next other than to keep him plugging away and see if he can show some improvement.
We saw a call-up for Ronel Revello when Munoz went on the paternity list, and you had him as the Cardinal Nation Player of the Month in the minor leagues for May. And I really enjoyed your piece on Ronel, just kind of giving him his due and the history of getting to the big leagues and this road that he's traveled. And it's been a long one in the minor leagues, a lot of bus rides and a lot of miles. Tell me a little bit about Ronel Revello.
Well, you've got to respect a guy who's stuck at it for 10 years. 10 years in the minor leagues, his 10th year in the minor leagues. He was drafted by the Chicago White Sox. He was in the sixth round and was in their system for a while, got onto the 40-man roster and to be protected from Rule 5. And his career looked like it was moving well. Well, he got traded to Oakland. And so he kind of got lost in the Oakland system. And before too long, he got released. And so the Cardinals picked him up immediately. This was in April 2017. And Revello turned out to be arguably the most consistent hitter in the Memphis lineup across two title years. Study Clapp loved him. He batted him second in his lineup because he had great bat-to-ball skills. Now, he's been batting more in the middle of the lineup this year because Memphis doesn't have quite the same firepower on offense that they did before. But Revello played a lot, if you remember, early in spring camp because they were working Goldschmidt in slowly. And so Revello got a lot of action, but then he made a diving catch, got injured, hurt his rib, and that was the last we saw of him. Well, and he's back at Memphis, has a rough first month, batted under 200 in April, and you're worried, hey, is there some kind of lingering problem? Well, then in May, he turned it on, and here in June, he was batting almost 500 for Memphis. So, the fact that certainly wasn't a fluke. Part of it was recognition for a guy who's been a good soldier for the organization, but Revello can hit. He's not a power threat, but he's definitely a guy that can handle the bat.
I wonder if that's been, and I mentioned on the broadcast last night, that's hurt him because he's hit pretty much everywhere he's been, but it hasn't been with the power. And when you're a corner position guy, everybody's looking for power. Also, as you well know, you can get labeled when you're in the minor leagues for a long time. I wonder if those are a couple of strikes against him. And the other question, or at least statement, and this will be a question, he's played a little outfield. How good has he looked in the outfield?
He's a passable corner outfielder. He's not a center fielder, but he's played a lot. In fact, he played a lot of the outfield for Memphis this year because they have another guy, John Nogalski, who's a first base only guy. So yeah, Morello can play corner outfield. He can be a decent guy to have on the bench. But there's another reason that I think Revello got the call now, not just because he's been hot, and that is that Memphis has had an unbelievably bad run of injuries. Now, they weren't playing well before the injuries, but they're to the point now where they have almost a dozen players on the injury list. I think the current count is 11. And so the guys who you normally would have thought, who would have been the first names that you would have thought of as bench players to call up to St. Louis if there was a need? Well, Tyler O'Neill on the injured list. Lane Thomas on the injured list. Drew Robinson on the injured list. Well, you look around and there aren't that many healthy bodies around that they could have called up. So, Hank, why not? Why not give Revello a shot? Now, the challenge is, given the roster situation right now, he's not going to play much. He'll get a pinch hit job, spot there and come in maybe late in a blowout or something like that. But if Jed Jerko is going to be out for a while longer, it'll give Revello perhaps a little longer to stay in the major leagues and have a chance to impress.
He's only 27, had to be added to the 40-man roster. Is there a future for Revello with the Cardinals or in the organization beyond this year?
Probably not. And that's nothing. That's not an indictment of his skills or his capability. But as I mentioned, he had been on the 40-man roster both for the White Sox and the A's, and he used up two of his three allowable minor league option years in the past. So, assuming that this year he gets optioned back to Memphis and stays down for the necessary period, he won't have any more options in 2020. And so when it comes to the end of spring training next year, the Cardinals would have to expose him to waivers. And Revillo supposedly has a pretty good, you know, pretty good reputation around the game. And I think if the Cardinals exposed him, somebody would pick him up.
Let's also talk about Tommy Edman. He was called up, picked up his first major league hit, a double against the Mets. Every time I watch this kid play, Brian, I like him. Give our fans a little bit more of an idea of Tommy Edman, his future position, and just maybe what you think of the immediate future with him as well.
Tommy Edman is a very solid all-around player. Stanford kid, intelligent, knows the game well, rarely makes a mistake, is not the most talented athlete, but you know, in the mold of a lot of other infielders that the Cardinals had in the past, he gets the most out of his skills. He was a shortstop by trade. His position ultimately may be second base, but he can also even play third. He's got a strong enough arm, he can do that. Offensively, he was batting over 300 for Memphis. Not tremendous power, but good enough power, and very successful on the bases. 9-9 in stolen bases, so you know he's an intelligent base runner. Again, not the fastest guy in the world, but a guy that really, you know, has an all-around good game, and you know, probably has a major league career in front of him, at least as a utility player, if not a spot starter.
Yeah, he intrigues me. Switch hitter, that's something else. Speed, versatility, I like it. Let's talk a little bit about the midway point of the minor league season. This is the end of the first half already, isn't it?
That's right. And at the three lower levels, not Memphis. Memphis plays a full season like the major league, so they don't have a split. But they're at the midpoint of their schedule, logically. And then the other three levels where Springfield, AA, High A, Palm Beach, and Class A, Peoria, they actually have split seasons. So there are champions in the first half. And in the case of the Midwest League, where Peoria plays, they also have a wild card team. So playoff berths are earned in the first half that are then, of course, exercised in September. Unfortunately, Palm Beach was the only team of those four that had a winning record and was in contention. And they had a swoon here in the first half of June and fell out of first place, finished second three games out. But in the case of both Springfield and Palm Beach, they were 14 and 14 and a half games out of first place, respectively. So they were, pretty much also rans. And then Memphis right now has had a tough run as well. They're currently 11 games out, third of four in their division. So, you know, across the Cardinals minor league system, this has definitely been a down year.
Hair Salon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Salon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Salon for Men. Palm Beach and Peoria, the All-Stars, had a chance to shine. What do we know about those?
Well, on last Saturday, the Florida State League, where Palm Beach plays, had their All-Star game at Roger Dean Stadium. And several Cardinals participated. Julio Rodriguez is an interesting prospect, a catcher. And he was leading the Florida State League in batting average for much of the first half of the season. So, you know, when you've got a catcher with a little bit of pop in his bat and can hit for average like that, you know, you really get a lot of attention. So Rodriguez is a guy, and by the way, his manager is Dan Bilardello, a former major league catcher. So that's a nice development opportunity. Julio Rodriguez was a starter for the South in that game. Perry Delavella, you know, he's a 27th rounder last year, a typical Cardinals guy, late round guy, was the Gulf Coast League ERA champ last year, but, you know, he was a little older than his competition. They leapt him up to Palm Beach and, became an all-star. Ben Yokley, another interesting guy, folks haven't heard much about a reliever, sort of in the Mitch Harris mold in that he lost two seasons because he was in the Air Force, had to go into active duty. 29th rounder, and the Cardinals brought him, back after he finished his service, and was an all-star reliever in the Florida State League. So some interesting young players there. On Tuesday night, the Midwest League had their all-star game, ended up in a 3-3 tie, And Peoria had five players in the All-Star game. Nolan Gorman, who we've talked a lot about, in the midst of a major slump right now, 3 for his last 37 with 16 strikeouts. So, you know, as we've talked about before, Gorman's had his ups and downs. He's only had one home run in the last month. So he's in a dry spirit period, and he's got to adapt to the pitchers who are adapting to him. But he was recognized as a starter in the All-Star game and got a walk and scored a run. Brady Whalen, a young first baseman, also made the team. He's actually in his fourth season, but he was one of these guys that we talked about last time, Dan, that was drafted after the 10th round, but that the Cardinals gave big money to convince him not to go to college. So Brady Whalen, the first baseman, was an All-Star. Delvin Perez, who we talked about, shortstop, was a reserve in the game. He came in, stole a base, scored a run. Delvin's hitting for average, which is good, but, you know, 11 out of every 12 of his hits are singles. So, you know, he's still got to put some more meat on his bones and learn, figure out how to hit for some more power. The other two All-Stars, Alvaro Cejas, is at Peoria. Alvaro Cejas is at Peoria for his second year, but just 20 years old, starter, and, you know, has a lot of potential for the future, but needs development time. And then the last guy I want to talk about on Peoria is a guy that really is intriguing, named Edgar Escobar. Escobar is a 22-year-old Cuban that the Cardinals signed about 12 months ago. So he's only been, you know, in the professional ranks about as long as a draftee from 2018. He led the Gulf Coast League with 9 saves last year, 1.21 ERA, struck out 33 in 22 innings against only 3 walks. So the Cardinals left him up from the GCL up to Peoria, perfect record in saves, still more than a strikeout per inning, 1.47 ERA. So Edgar Escobar's guy who's throws in the low 90s, has a good curve, and is a guy who could move up pretty quickly in the system, I think.
Yeah, no question about it. People ask, why do you have two different seasons in the minor leagues, the first half, second half? Can you explain that?
Well, I think the main reason, Dan, is that just the significant amount of change that occurred, the rosters and the minor league levels at the end of the season look nothing like they did at the beginning of the season. And because there's so much change in the teams, you know, it only makes sense to, you know, reward and have a good first half, and then those guys all get promoted. The combination of good skills and injuries, the last I checked across the system from St. Louis down to Peoria, there are 28 players on the injured list right now. That's over an entire roster worth of players across those 5 teams that are hurt. And so what that means is guys get pushed forward maybe before they're ready, but they have to do it to fill in for injuries. So, you know, half the season, I think, recognize that the teams that do well, but also give teams a chance like Springfield in the first half that just had a dreadful first half to maybe read it, get some better pitching and, find a way to win some of those games that the bullpen cost them.
Finally, Brian, thecardinalnation.com. Where can people go and find out the latest on the Cardinals and the minor leagues, and what are you working on?
Well, one of the things that we'll talk about maybe next time is where the Cardinals stand in their draft class. They have 28 of the 40 players signed now. The short season teams have, 2 of the 3 short season teams have gotten underway. Draftees are signing. They've been working out in Jupiter, and they're starting to get assigned to clubs. So we're starting to see how the Cardinals are going to assign these young players that they've drafted for the first time here this June. So I've got a lot of analysis on that, early information on where it looks like players are going. And of course, our normal features on what's happening in terms of games and recaps of each of the teams.
Brian, as always, thank you, and we'll catch up next Wednesday.
Take care, Dan.